Hey everybody, and welcome to Win Stupid Prizes, the show where we ask the questions that nobody thought were worth asking. I'm Eddie, and I'm joined today by three blind mice, and they are Alex,
the Logitech G507.
Bear?
Where are my eyes?
fully covered up by Discord.
Discord. Yeah, Discord did not like that joke.
Do you want me to adjust my Discord settings and try it again?
No, it's fine. We're going to just play it out. One of these no-edit episodes classics. And our judge this episode is Jamie.
I guess I'm all three of the mice in a trench coat, which is a Logitech mouse, a mouse that's screaming, and I guess appropriately, the electric mouse Pokemon. Pikachu.
Appropriately, you say.
Yes. You haven't introduced me as judge, but I'm going to claim it immediately. Hello, I'm judging today.
He did.
Crap. Okay.
Oh, called technicality. Judge is lying, Your Honor.
Restart the recording.
Sustained.
Right. So I'm judging, and I've dropped a little hint there. Recently, a big amount of noise was made around a game that came out on Steam, where basically someone took Pokemon, combined it with guns, and was like, here's a game. And what came out of it was a mediocre crafting survival game. But regardless, the concept of adding things to Pokemon...
We'll get in the comments and yell at Jamie, everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, engagement.
Don't tell him it's engagement.
The concept of adding things to Pokemon is interesting, and seeing as the Pokemon series changes very slowly, I'd like to know, what would you bring to Pokemon to improve it? And, well, change things faster than they do between mainline entries.
Oh, man.
So, what's next for Pokemon?
Okay, there's a mechanic that a lot of games have been using recently, and it's seen a lot of success, and I think the Pokemon could really benefit from it. And that is, of course...
Online play.
Not online play. It is, of course, loot boxes.
Oh, yes, I love those.
I think he means surprise mechanics.
Surprise mechanics, gacha boys, whatever you want to call them.
Gambling addiction.
Gacha capsules?
Now, to be clear... Is this still like an offline single-player game, or are you forcing people to be online so that they can register their like gacha purchases?
Oh, we would have to put them online just to make sure that they can't cheat or anything like that. You know, you got to verify it with the servers and things.
Damn.
But it is still a single-player experience.
Some recent single-player games have had gacha mechanics entirely offline, although people worked out you could, like, I guess you could cheat them by, like, reloading your save.
Yeah, we specifically want them to have to buy extra Pokebucks to get more of the stuff, so we have to do it online.
Yeah, there's plenty of games that use luck as a mechanic. Like, Pokemon has you roll randomly for encountering a Pokemon and a shiny, and people do that for hours.
Yeah, but like, that's part of my point. Isn't it so bullshit how long it takes to catch a shiny? So what if instead you could just spend enough gacha dollars, Pokebucks, whatever we call them, poker points, I'm taking that one, and you can roll on the increased luck shiny table, for example. It's going to cost way more points, don't get me wrong.
I think you're reducing your engagement there. I do agree that you want better, like, shiny stuff, but that's a way to get people to buy more gachas. See, it's not saying it's a higher chance of getting shinies. It's just saying, hey, instead of having to spend 5 hours, just buy 5,000 capsules at once.
Yes, this is why I have you here. This is exactly the information I need.
This solves one of the big problems, one of the big controversies in the competitive Pokemon community, which is that some people love hacking in Pokemon and just making something with perfect stats, and people don't like that, and they get banned for cheating. So instead of banning people for cheating, you just provide them, you just say, well, if you want a Pokemon with perfect stats, you just have to pay us $50,000, and then you get your Pokemon with perfect stats, and then...
No, I think you're misunderstanding, Alex. You pay us $50,000, and you get to roll 50,000 times on the table to try and get a Pokemon with perfect stats.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, one of the gachas you could buy is you put a Pokemon in the gacha machine, and you roll, like, hey, I want to re-roll its attack stat.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I know that, Jamie, you play that Fire Emblem gacha game, and you can, like, merge heroes together, right?
Yeah.
So you could just merge your two Pokemon. You've got, like, oh, I've got three Pikachus. I'm now going to merge them into...
A one-star Pikachu.
It seems like most gacha games require duplicates in some way.
Yes, the one-star Pikachu. I think star mechanic as well. That's so good. This is why you guys are here.
You know, once you get 9 Pikachus, you can get a 2-star Pikachu.
So we're adding gacha and microtransactions.
Mm. Yeah.
Which already exists in that Pokemon MOBA, right?
Probably.
Yeah, probably. If it's still going.
Oh man, they're so expensive.
But we're adding it to regular Pokemon rather than MOBA Pokemon.
Yeah, adding gadget mechanics, microtransactions, gambling addiction, and low percent rolls for higher rarity versions of Pokemon that you then, if you want to be perfect, you have to merge up multiple copies of.
100%.
Also, we want to reduce the amount of time people say, oh, it's pay to win. So we also want to make sure that with these gacha mechanics, there's also a very, very slow trickle economy where you can technically earn something in 200 days of play.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. If you could spend 49 million years earning what you could buy in a day for $10,000,
yeah,
then it's fair and everyone can do it.
It's fair.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now you guys are getting it.
And your login bonus is like a third of a roll on the common chart or whatever.
That keeps players engaged as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's all just poker points, right? Catching a Pokemon gets you like 10 poker points, but then buying poker points, you get like, for £10, you get like 1,000 poker points.
Yeah, exactly. That's fair.
And it costs like 10,000 poker points for a hat.
Yes.
So that's the other thing. Do you like, you go out into the world, you're playing the game, you catch a Pokemon in the wild, rather than getting the Pokemon that you just caught, you get some points. Do you go to the poker center, you put the points into the gacha machine, it rolls, you're like, oh, come on, I want Persian, and it's like, potion, common.
Here's your 20th Rattata.
You're working for a company, right? And so you catch the Pokemon, you go cash it in, and it's like, cool, here's a tenth of a token.
Yeah.
Every 10 Pokemon you catch for us, we'll let you roll on getting a Pokemon.
Because that's what you've signed up
for. Yeah, anything like that.
And of course, there's a star rating in the Pokemon you get, so you could get a 5-star Pikachu straight away.
Oh,
it's statistically unlikely. As in impossible.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I figured out why Eddie is bringing this answer as well, because not only is it improving capitalism in the real world, it then sort of demands an entire reframe of the Pokemon setting in that game to be like a late stage capitalism Pokemon game.
Yes, because Pokemon itself is surprisingly socialist.
Wholesome.
Yeah.
You get your Pokemon hailed at the Pokemon Center for no money. Like, what is that? Where's the profit incentive?
I know I said I want to try and get away from the capitalism thing, but loot box is just so lucrative.
Wait, gacha the poker center. You have to pay poker points to use the Pokemon at the poker center to heal up.
Of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
I kind of want an America Pokemon game now where you have to pay for the Pokemon center as well. Like, this is just America. This is just set in the Pokemon America.
Wasn't that Pokemon with guns?
But no, this is the Pokemon world. Jamie, we're not talking about third party productions.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so sure, guns.
Because they've done Britain, they've done Paris, they've done Spain.
Lots of Japan, they did Hawaii.
You want them to do like New York State or whatever.
There is a separate set of like rolls and loot boxes for items and things as well, let's not forget.
What, don't you want to combine them so you can roll on the chart and you want a Pokemon and you get a potion or like an X attack?
Or a gun. No, wait, not a gun.
Pokemon El Vago.
Sure, yeah.
Pokemon Las Vegas?
The region is El Vago. So you have all the guns, you have the America stuff, you have the gambling. It's in the middle of a desert region, but there's all sorts of,
you're
like,
going into a full Pokemon rework on region now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the game has to take place in a region. I do actually like the idea of it being a like harder game because you don't just get stuff for free, but I don't like the rest of it.
No pandas.
So you're coming around to my line of thinking, though. That's what matters.
Yeah, we're going to spend the rest of this episode just creating Pokemon Gun and
Pokemon New Vegas.
What's the other one?
Pokemon Free Market.
I was trying to come up with two versions. Like, we had Sword and Shield, so what was it? Like, Gun and Kevlar?
Pokemon Gun and Casino?
Gun and Money?
Yeah, yeah, Gun and Money.
Cash and Guns.
Cash and Guns.
Cash and Guns. Pokemon Cocaine and Hookers.
Hookers and Blow, yeah.
As you pointed out, it's going to revitalize the professional scene as well, because there'll be so few legendaries around, only the people who can spend the most money will have the legendaries.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, no, there are legendaries, it's just you don't have the money to get into their big towers, because they're running the place.
Nice.
I will note, in competitive Pokemon, currently, you just get to preset your team and build it on a thing, I believe.
So there's like two different things. There's like people play on simulators, which you can do that.
Yeah.
And then if you're playing on the actual Nintendo-approved things, then they're quite strict about you not hacking them in.
I think they let you.
But I might be wrong.
A version where you just get 100 rolls and you've got to build a team from that off your pop.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You just pay for entry.
Oh, Pokemon Limited.
I've invented Pokemon Limited, yes.
There was a limited Pokemon that was in one of the earlier games. They never brought it back and I was really disappointed.
What was that?
It was like Battle Frontier. You could like hire Pokemon.
That's Star Wars.
That late game stuff often has different versions each.
There was like Battle Castle as well in third gen.
Battle Frontier, Battle Castle, Battle... That, I remember. Tower? Yeah.
All right, before we get too stuck into the tall grass, I've got to pull us back out.
Yep, do that. Right.
I'd like to take the good parts of video games, please.
Well, look at the boxes again. Yeah.
Look, I've already stayed out of several gens of Pokemon game just because they were the same game. I don't think you asking me to spend a bunch of money is going to pull me back.
But think about the skill.
Pokemon has a few mini games,
like loot boxes,
like beauty contests.
Loot boxes are a kind of mini.
Or like the GBA one had the four-way link cable make Pokepuffs little mini game.
Yeah. And they used to have a gambling minigame, and then they realised, hang on, let's not do this.
What was the gambling minigame?
There was just like a casino.
There were slots, yeah. But like...
That's gambling.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I think they had it right with the gambling minigame.
I think we can do a lot better with like taking minigames that are already successful, for example, Overcooked, and putting Pokemon in it. It's like, ooh. Well, I've got a Pikachu. Pikachu's going to give it to a Heatran.
Ah, like cooking Pokemon.
And Heatran's going to heat it up. And then we got a waiter, and maybe the waiter is a Ditto.
And then Machamp's going to seismic toss the food through the chute or something.
Yeah.
Do you get different powers based on which Pokemon is in like which role? Like a Machamp can serve four meals at once.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Like,
are you playing as Pokemon, or are there Pokemon in the levels that you have to use?
I think it could be either, but I do like playing as Pokemon, like the mystery dungeon hole, you are a Pokemon kind of thing.
Yeah, you'd need lots of like thinking about how you can accomplish tasks then, because you'd want to be able to do it with lots of different squads.
I think so, but I think that's the main like draw of Pokemon, is that you have lots of different Pokemon.
Yeah, yeah. I just mean like if you need a fire Pokemon for every level with cooking, or do you have like, hey, here's actually a flamethrower that a Pokemon can pick up.
Yeah, but there's a lot of fire Pokemon.
Each player could have a set they take with them and be able to swap between them.
Yeah, oh, yeah. You switch out. So you switch, oh, I need to flame my steak, and then you switch to your Charizard, and you go...
And you go, whoops.
Hope you wanted this well done.
Or it can be multiplayer, obviously, because you referenced Overcooked, which is mostly a fun multiplayer game. If someone's already
Tracer
swapped to the fire Pokemon, you don't need to. You can like toss the food their way and they flame it, and you can stay doing what you were doing.
But imagine a Machop chopping all your veg up.
Oh,
it
so
would
good.
Be so efficient.
Oh, imagine not needing to use the sink because... Okay, no, you're in a kitchen, so you can always use the cooker.
Yes.
But every Pokemon has like a faster ability for a specific kind of task.
Yeah.
So like, hey, I don't need to clean the dishes because I'm a Squirtle, so I just run to the table and go all over the table and it's clean again.
That's good.
Sorry, my brain went off on the Machop doing the chopping, but Machop's famous for doing karate chops, so rather than chopping the onion, it just mushes it up with his hand.
Machop is not chopping it. Machop can just carry four items.
That's Machamp.
No, Machamp can carry four items.
It also would be good for like pummeling your meat.
Oh, to make the burger.
Let's take that one again, but you
Let's
know.
Let's not question what meat.
Will you take that soundbite, clip that.
Machop can open packages and get rid of unruly customers.
And pummel your meat.
Let's just not question whether it's Pokemon meat or not.
Chop your garlic, just like, oh, I need some chopped garlic. Boff.
But you do have loads of Pokemon that are basically knives, so like using a guy with a fist seems less effective for the chopping one.
Exactly, that's what I was trying to say. Machop, just using his karate chop, it's just going to squish things. It's not going to chop it.
But Machop can mash potatoes real good.
Are we cooking Magikarps?
Yeah, obviously.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The whole menu is Pokemon stuff.
I'm going to pick Trubbish every time and just wander around and clean up the mess from the customers.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, just throw all the trash on the Trubbish and just make the Trubbish a bit bigger.
Perfect.
Oh, that would be so funny that Trubbish just disposes of stuff. So you're like, we've got the kitchen order. We need this to go out to the customer. And he's like, I'll do it. Whoops, I threw it away.
Anything that Trubbish touches turns to trash.
That's the problem with Snorlax is really big and really like can like carry a lot of stuff. Big arms. Problem is, 50% chance falls asleep, 50% chance eats the meal itself.
No, Snorlax, I know what we do with Snorlax. Snorlax is a normal Pokemon, as in that can carry one thing because it needs two hands to not drop it.
Is Snorlax the customer?
No, Snorlax can play normally, but you can also just go out into the restaurant and fall asleep and everyone's timers chill out a bit.
Okay, yep.
Like, while a Snorlax is out sleeping there, everyone becomes more relaxed and doesn't lose, like, time counter as quickly.
I think if I was in a restaurant and a Snorlax started, just wandered into the middle of it and fell asleep, I would be freaking the hell out, not more relaxed.
But that's because you don't live in a Pokemon world where the Snorlax is wearing like an apron for the restaurant.
This is true. One of my biggest regrets in life is not living in a Pokemon world. It is true.
It's also, Eddie, because you're not the judge. The Snorlax thing is playing to the judge. I would just be like, yeah, I'll wait fight for my food.
Jamie, I will specifically make Snorlax a really high percentage chance in the loot boxes.
Yes, good. No, wait, no. If I'm queuing, I only get Snorlaxes on the gacha and nothing else.
That's fine too.
Yeah. The other thing you could do is a Snorlax isn't playable, but they do just occasionally show up and get stuck in the door and fall asleep. And that's something you have to deal with.
Oh, yes. You do the classic thing. They are an obstacle.
You could have a Munchlax playable and a Snorlax as like an obstacle.
I think the Pokemon can be both the servers and the customers in this.
I agree. Yeah, the restaurant serves and is run by Pokemon.
Oh, I look forward to the level that like there's an open counter alongside a river and a Gyarados just pulls up with a bunch of other water Pokemon on its back and they all put an order in at once.
Oh, yeah.
And then the Gyarados just eats all of it? I don't know.
Yeah.
What was that game? Cook, Serve, Delicious is like a game where people like come and order food from a food truck and you have to prepare it like super duper quickly. And that would be fun with Pokemon too.
It's like those old Flash games of make a food, but there's loads of different foods and it's just use loads of hotkeys. It's get good at hotkeys, the game.
So that is Cook, Serve, Delicious. It is that. So,
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So this idea was other kinds of mini games from other like multiplayer nonsense things. And we have focused, it's just Overcooked now.
I think it's just Overcooked now. Yeah, okay. I think Overcooked is good enough to be the answer. So why on earth would I bring in WarioWare?
I think you've nailed it in one. Stop there. Quit while you're ahead.
Yeah, okay. Anything else on this cooking game?
I don't think so. I think I've covered...
I don't think every level has to even be cooking, right? Like, it can be the format, but you could be doing different tasks here and there.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
So you have cooking levels, which has the kitchen equipment and makes different use of the Pokemon's ability. And then you have, like, hey, we're working in the post office.
Actually, yeah, I quite like that. It makes it not just Overcooked with Pokemon. It's that style of game.
Yeah, or we're doing...
Gardening.
Or what's that, like, train station cleaner simulator? You could have that as a... You just hire a Squirtle, and then you have to clean train stations by just water gunning everything.
House Flipper Pokemon is actually quite fun.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, you get to have, oh, geez, Smeargle?
The paintbrush one.
Look, Smeargle, you know, because Smeargle really is going to end up painting a mural. What you need is, like, a Swalot, and you just give it, like, all the paint in its mouth, and then it just goes, bleh, paints the whole room in one go.
Oh, lovely, yes. I like to flip my house by vomiting paint onto the walls.
So House Flipper Pokemon would be slightly different. I think you'd be playing first person, you'd collect Pokemon, hire them, and you'd go and, like, leave them in a room doing their job, and then go off and do other things.
Okay.
So it would be an idle game?
Not idle. It would be about, like, where are you assigning things per unit time?
All right, Charmander. Now, don't you ruin this carpet that I need you to lay.
It's like, I'm going to assign Machop to carry lumber for 3 days, and that's going to do this house. And meanwhile...
Isn't that just a project management game? You're like, oh, I've got a Nat chart, and I'm going to get my Charmander to do this, and then that, and the other thing.
Sure.
I think the more fun one was the chaos of Overcooked and other similar ones.
I think it is. I don't like project management.
I do like the idea of doing other games like the Post Office or like, yeah, things like
that. Yeah. A bunch of mini game co-op mini games, multiplayer madness.
Yes.
The task change and then the fact that the Pokemons have different abilities is what makes that interesting and very.
I incinerated today's mail. Why did you bring Charmander?
All the mail is technically delivered. There is no mail to deliver.
You build in a streamer mode audience function where the like you can join as an audience and make some decisions about the order you want to make.
That sounds pretty good.
I mean, that just sounds like a thing that things like Overcooked could do with rather than specifically Pokemon, to be honest. That's just a good idea.
Yeah, but we're making the game here and we're making it good. So yeah, streamer mode, at it. Don't you use this idea, Team 17. I've copyrighted the words. So, speaking of time management, you said you wanted a project management game, right, Alex?
I said I love project management, but luckily Jamie is the judge today.
Yeah.
So one of the games that I've actually genuinely often really wanted from Pokemon would be like Pokemon Tropical Island. And you're just going and like setting up a resort, but you're just a bunch of Pokemon. And then in the game, there's a bit of management and a bit of automation, but it's like, hey, we're going to try and dig a tunnel to connect these areas. And we want a Pokemon that's going to run around and give food to all the other Pokemon that are working.
But is this just Animal Crossing?
No, because the animals in Animal Crossing don't do anything. Imagine if the animals in Animal Crossing actually, like, you could ask them to help out with things and they had characteristics and personalities and they didn't use words.
Isn't this just Palworld?
You're you've taken what would I bring to Pokemon, and instead you're like, how would I fix Animal Crossing?
Sure. But yeah, you take that basic structure, and I don't know, maybe you're a gym leader, maybe you're interacting with your town, and it's sort of a planning game. So you're responsible. You are in this place, and you want to make sure that it's serving its purpose for the community. So whether you decide to make it like, hey, this is a battle-focused region, and I'm going to have a lot of places for the different trainers to come and learn things and experience and lots of interesting challenges in my gym, or I'm going to make this a real community-focused area where Pokemon and people relax and, like, do spas together.
I was thrown off by the tropical island bit.
Yeah.
Like, is Bear doing Pokemon but Tropico?
Cinnabar Island is an island.
Yeah. I mean, I guess there is a... The game that I wanted to play was just set on a tropical island where you're doing this because there's not a lot of development there already, right? It's a common start for... There's this new sort of region.
Wait. Is this Pokemon Tropico, Pokemon Banished, or Pokemon Animal Crossing, but Animal Crossing, that's good?
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Thanks.
I think being a gym leader is genius.
I like the sound of that, yeah.
That gives you obvious signs of progression as people come and challenge you, and the more difficult trainers you can still beat, you get bumped up in the rankings of which number gym in the progression you are.
I'm 40%.
And it's a newish region, so they need some guidance, you need some community interaction for this to succeed. Mm-hmm. And it's not only about like whether you're winning the gym battles, it's about whether you're meeting the needs of those people who are getting to you.
Yeah, the idea of being a gym leader is the trainers are meant to be able to get past you, but it's a check of their skill. So actually presenting a good, maybe even a form of entertainment from it, right? If people come and watch, like, is your team fun to play against and fun to watch?
Are the gym battles part of community events? Are you working with Pokemon Rain? Like, rather than focusing a lot in your actual center of your town, are you putting a lot of resource and effort into training and sending out Pokemon Rangers in the area to discover things, make friends with more Pokemon, and make sure Team Rocket doesn't have a base around the corner to do some crimes? Oh,
Pokemon cops.
You also have to train up the trainers that turn up in gyms that aren't the gym leader.
Yeah, yeah.
You also have to mentor them.
Hire them.
Hire them, mentor them, help them.
Those are often like, local trainers or people who are really keen on that Pokemon specialty.
One of the things that the anime gets right, which I don't think the games really, just because of the scale of the games, they never really get there, is like that sense of community, that sense of people are turning up to watch Pokemon battles and they're a big spectacle.
That's true.
The latest two mainline games have had a bit of that.
Okay.
But yes, more of it, yes.
Oops, I haven't played them.
And I think you have a choice in this game about whether you're leaning more in, like, sort of black and white style for people who are like 30 years old at least. You have a bit of a choice about whether, hey, am I going to lean more into this is just about battling and about efficiency and like I'm taking everything, we're very objective focused here, or is it like I'm creating an environment and maybe battles are a smaller part of the community but there are all these other activities that we're taking part in.
Of course, yeah, you're doing all the different things.
Just to circle back, by black and white style, do you mean the game black and white or Pokemon black and white?
I mean the black and white game black and white where you're running, you're a god of a civilization, and whether you're like a tyrant or good or something in between is up to you.
I thought you meant that, but because we're talking about Pokemon, I think it's best to be...
Yeah, no, that's fair.
I genuinely assumed you meant Pokemon Black and White, and I was like, I don't think you'd be 30 to play Pokemon Black and White.
You do. Actually, Peter Molyneux stops you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I cannot allow this.
Interestingly, both of them have a Black and White 2 as well. The only Pokemon game with a 2, Black and White 2, there's also Black and White 2 from back in the day with the Black and White God game. So
it's a conspiracy.
Okay, so there's one Pokemon game that was set in a kind of tropical thing where there isn't quite the normal gym structure, and that's Sun and Moon, where there's like challenges and stuff that you set up. Are you involving that stuff?
I don't know if it has to be set there. I think it's a new... Maybe it's back in time.
Oh, like they did with Arceus.
Oh, like you're one of the first gyms to set up sort of thing.
Yeah, maybe it's just like, here's a new region.
That's cool.
We don't really know the Pokemon here.
Oh, Pokemon colonialism.
It's not necessarily colonialism, though, because it might be... It's the choice, isn't it? So if you decide, hey, we're going to subjugate this natural world and make it ours, then that's one lead into your society. Or if you're like, hey, we're going to really integrate and learn about the Pokemon here, then that's a different direction.
As we set up town and claim Dominion, yes. Lovely.
Oh, we can play Dominion. Pokemon Dominion.
Yeah, forget my idea. We're taking an existing board game and reflavoring it as Pokemon.
Sold. Much easier.
Wing type.
Wing type, not flying type.
You're a wing idiot.
Ball span.
Wing gull.
Okay, yeah, no, I it's a bit open-ended. I do like it, though.
It is, yeah.
I like the idea of being somebody who just set up a gym. It's neat.
Yeah, and I think, like, you have a number of directions you would take this as a game, whether it's, like, smaller focus. Is this the town? Is this the Civ? Is this my building and the people who come in and interact with me?
Different amounts of zoom out that you can do.
But I think I would like, really, the medium one, where you can get to know characters and still... You can send things out of your map to interact with, like, the local environment, but you're not building the local environment.
So you want Pokemon Crystal Chronicles My Life as a King? You've never played My Life as a King. Okay. You're running the town that adventures go through on the way to quests.
Okay.
And you're giving me that vibe.
I've played a number of games like it.
Yes.
I really do like the gym leader simulator idea, though. I think that has legs because that's, like, our way of centering the game there, if that makes sense.
It gives a real nice theme for it.
And just to bring it back to Animal Crossing, you show up in a taxi one day and everyone's like, hi, it's the new gym leader, and you're like, what? I don't even have a Pokemon.
Well, here's a small loan of $1 million Pokemon. No, dollars.
Gacha points.
I think everyone at some point when playing Pokemon in the past at least thought about, if not planned out, what would my gym be? And so this scratches that itch.
There are people that, like, do that at cons. They, like, make their own gyms so that you can challenge them at cons.
When I was younger, I wasn't a gym leader. I was in the Elite Four, of course.
Of course.
But as I've aged, I've settled down and I'm like, actually, I would much more enjoy the gym leader stuff. And when I came to playing Pokemon Go, I styled myself as the local gym leader and walked around with a costume. And a belt of Pokeballs.
But you want the community. You don't want to be sitting in your ivory tower that's behind a really rocky, blocked road of rocks that people can't get to you.
No, that's what you want to do, Jamie.
Yeah.
In, like, second gen and some of the later ones, the Elite Four are much more involved in the community. Like, Lance is flying around helping people, solving problems.
The comment about whether, like, people show up to watch them and stuff, in the latest one, the Elite Four show up and start, like, paying attention to your career as you're working up through the gyms.
That's cool.
I think you meet all of them at some point before you actually challenge the Elite Four, which it used to be you'd maybe meet one or none, right? You'd meet the champion sometimes, but otherwise...
Oh, yeah. This might be getting slightly off topic, but the thing that I love about Pokemon that the games almost never tackle is the companionship and community.
It's a very nice world that isn't corrupted by capitalism.
Yeah.
What? What up, earholes? I know it can be a bit of a nightmare keeping up with your favourite content creators,
or us,
so I've included links to all of our main features in the show notes. There's links to our website, YouTube and Twitch channels, where you'll find all of our content, links to Twitter and Facebook, where most of our updates and info about new content gets posted, and links to our Patreon and Ko-fi if you've got a few extra gold coins lying around which you'd like to chuck our way. Alright, now get back to whatever you were doing. Go on, scram! I think you guys are onto some really good ideas here. I really like the gym management style of thing, and I really like the mini games. So what if we combined the two into what I like to call Pokemon Sports Manager?
Ooh.
Okay, go on. Are we managing a gym again?
No, we're specifically managing a sports team. For example, like a football team, for example. Soccer for the American listeners.
I was about to ask.
The one where you use your foot for the ball.
What, rugby?
Wait, is there an American Football Manager, or is Football Manager the sport manager game? It is just Football Manager, right? That's the big one.
Football Manager. There might be one, but like Football Manager is the big one of its type.
Yeah, okay.
The idea that I really glommed onto for this one was having different Pokemon in different positions within a team. So like using football/soccer as my example, depending on what Pokemon you put in goal gives you different capabilities. Hmm. You put him a champion goal, he got four arms. He can block more of a goal. You put Snorlax in goal, he blocks like most of the goal, yeah. But can't do anything about the little bit that he can't block.
Wiggle his little arms.
Wait till you put your Snorlax through a training regime and he's just ninja jumping around.
He would never agree to that.
Surprisingly nimble in the MOBA game.
So for the people that haven't played it, the management sim games are like, you've got a team and your team is, you don't control them during the game, you just like give them the tactics and then they execute it.
You're
then...
in charge of like trading, setting them up for the game, choosing positions, choosing plays, choosing training regimes,
hiring staff.
You could control them as well. I think you could combine it.
Sponsor. benefits? Do you do like money for the team? Is that part of it?
Maybe, probably. There are definitely versions of that. The bit I'm interested in is picking the Pokemon to go in the different positions to create different like tactical scenarios.
Yeah, yeah. But you could probably equip them and teach them different moves as well to help.
Oh, 100%, dude. You got to level up your Pokemon so they learn new moves. Remember, Champ learns Seismic Toss. You're going to see him win every layup in basketball.
He doesn't win the layup. When the ball goes high, he throws a teammate up to get it.
Oh, that well, yeah. His team is going to win every layup in basketball. What did I say?
Yeah.
I've only ever played one of these games, and it was ages ago, and I believe it was one where they weren't at the point where you could actually, you couldn't watch anything. It was just text and numbers.
Just told you, yeah.
Yeah, it just told you what was happening. So you're basically, you want Pokemon Sports Spreadsheet Simulator.
No, I actually want to see them do the thing. I want, like, instead of it being a Pokemon fight, I want it to be a Pokemon sporting contest, is what I'm saying. And, like, whether you control the Pokemon or whether you just manage them, I think depends on the game. There are multiple games in this genre.
Pokemon is a good setting for even just, like, a normal sports game, as we've talked about with the mini games.
Yeah.
And also the Pokemon world. Like, it would be fun to just play, like, a skateboarding game where you're grinding around the Pokemon cities, grinding up that big gym in France in the middle of the Eiffel Tower gym. You grind down that whole thing. There's Pokemon flying around.
Whoa.
Each Pokemon, you have different Pokemon riders, and they have like one special move they can do.
This begs the question, why is it Mario Strikers and Mario Tennis and Mario whatever? The Pokemon team is a way more varied set of characters.
Yes. Yeah.
Because you have to come up with more balanced special moves in Pokemon that are wildly more different.
I guess. But like, they're all party games. They don't need to be balanced.
This is true.
That is true. I mean, like, Bulbasaur and Lucario can face off fairly in Smash.
Yeah, they don't need balance to the Pokemon setting. And also, it's a silly game. You can just mess around.
Yeah, yeah. Hmm. I think the animations would take a lot, but yeah.
Yeah, imagine Machamp with four tennis rackets.
Yeah.
Admittedly, you only get one even with your two hands, but nonetheless.
I did actually just have to Google and double check that there hadn't been a Pokemon soccer game.
Has there not been?
There is a Pokemon Galactable League.
Sure.
What now?
Come again?
Wait a second. No, never. There is a Pokemon re-themed game of Mario Strikers.
Okay.
Right.
Wait, official?
I think so.
Ah, nice.
I have never heard of it.
No. But yeah, imagine all the Pokemon's playing, like, you could pick, like, do you want to pick a fast boy to put on the wing so they can, like, sprint up and down there, or do you want someone, like, bulky in defense to tackle, or someone fast in defense to, like, get around the attackers easier? You got options.
It's not official. Well, no, it is official. Crap.
I can't or is this a fictional write-up of a game that's not actually real, as if it were real?
I don't know. Anyway, sorry.
Oh, is it one of those wikis that does that?
It might be. Yes, it's fan. Never mind.
But we're back to the right.
Yeah, Pokemon Manager.
Pokemon playing football would be fun, but management. Yes.
Yeah, a bit of both.
Come on, it's Pokeball Manager.
Oh.
Pokeball Manager.
Oh.
Yeah,
Pokeball. You only manage the balls.
No, because Pokeball football.
I see.
What?
You've used the word ball from football and the word pokey from Pokeball and combined them to Pokeball Manager.
Oh my god, he's a genius. And I was going to call it Pokeyfoot.
And the O in the Pokemon, instead of being a Pokeball, is a football.
We've nailed it.
And by that you mean a soccer ball, because they're circular.
The L is an American football.
Depends on the game. It's all just the Pokeball franchise.
Wait, so you're gonna have the third installment in the series, and it's Pokemon Golf. That's where we're going, right?
No, it's Pokemon Fishing, and you just fish for Magikarp.
Well, no, you manage people fishing for Magikarp.
In Pokeball Manager, right, you'd still need to get new Pokemon onto your team, so once in a while you get the opportunity to get an egg.
Oh, nice.
And so you decide, hey, we're in this game, I'm going to give the egg to be carried by my best runner, my best striker, because they'll run up and down the field the most.
As many steps as possible.
They'll get worse at the game, but that will hatch the egg sooner.
Oh, I see.
Increase the number of players on your team.
Maybe that too.
If an egg hatches during the game, then it's a player.
Is
now.
It a valid player? Yeah.
You have to bench the person carrying it, and the new Pokemon that hatched is
No, you just get an extra one because they've been disadvantaged and they're tired from carrying the egg the whole time.
It's a legitimate strategy.
Yeah, you have two slightly worse players.
The ways you increase your team is the Football Manager form of hiring and trading and stuff.
Yeah, that's where the Poke Points come in loot box style.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Catching. You can send off your workers to go catching instead of, like, during a season.
Yeah. You can send people out to catch, and you can also hatch eggs and stuff.
In a lot of management games, you have scouts and stuff to look at new players. They're just catchers. They're just
the trainers. Yeah,
trainers. They go and catch Pokemon for you.
Is this a game... Okay, are you actually managing a set of, like, 11 trainers, and each one is commanding one Pokemon in the game?
Oh, ooh. That's interesting. Maybe.
So if you ever substitute someone, it has to come from that trainer's pool.
Oh, from their team. Right, yeah, they have a team of six, and so any swap outs are from their team of six.
So you've got 11 times six, so you've got 66 Pokemon on your team potential.
Or 11 times two if you want.
Okay, yeah, it could be fewer. Yeah, you could go fewer.
It's like each Pokemon can only swap out with a specific other Pokemon.
Yeah, that probably makes more sense.
It might make more sense to have, like, one trainer in charge of your, like, attacking lineup, and so they might have six Pokemon to pick from, but you only need two or three attackers and the same
That's
player.
Way too much attention. How can you shout dodge it to six Pokemon at once?
Only one of them has the ball.
Whoops, I shouted dodge it. I was in charge of defense, and I shouted dodge it to the defender, but the keeper heard it and jumped out of the way of the ball.
Well, that's why you fire that trainer, because he's no good at his job.
I've got three Pikachus on attack, and I went, Pikachu, shoot, and all three of them tried to shoot at the same time.
You should have merged them into a one-star Pikachu.
It turns out it's a 10 Pokemon squad, because every team has to have an Alakazam on it just to route the commands to the right Pokemon to avoid confusion.
Now, you just have to be very good at making different voices, so you just use like a squeaky voice to talk to your squeaky Pokemon.
And I like the simulation of the match has all of these actively shouting and going on in the background as well. So you have a trainer on the side who's like, dodge it! No, not you, Machamp! Kick it!
Like, that's its own meta. The crowd creates chants to try and distract the other Pokemons.
Yeah, imagine the chants. We want you to dodge.
The ball goes in and the crowd's like, da, 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 da. Someone's taking a penalty. The whole crowd, da, 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 da.
Wait, what happens if your Pokemon evolves mid-match?
The crowd does the chant.
You have to press B.
It's legit.
Like, no, I need the skill from this one. Quick, stop.
That is part of the equation. Yeah, they can evolve during training and stuff. As you go up through the leagues, you get different badge levels. So when you start at, like, the grassroots tier, you can only get Pokemon up to level, like, 20 or whatever.
And the different leagues, yeah.
To get to the first Premier Division in order to get maximum level Pokemon.
I think that also, like, that allows you to see the lesser used Pokemon in action a bit more.
Yeah.
I think it should be harder to evolve them, but occasionally if you're like down to the last 90 seconds and you need to score a goal to not lose, to go to overtime or whatever, then your Pokemon's just like, this is really intense, I'm feeling it all, and then just hyper beams the enemy team.
The ball through the goal, killing the crowd, the goal, the goalkeeper, and the ball all at once disintegrated.
Our goalie Gigantamaxed and destroyed the goal.
I also like the idea of potentially adding some level of multiplayer to this, where you can send your team off into the internet, into a league that other people get to play against as a challenge, to like have a bit of back and forth between players. It's not just, I think all football, well, the Football Manager game I'm aware of is single player.
Are you aware of FIFA Ultimate Team?
Oh, no. No.
Yes. This has been on my mind.
It is Football Manager, but with Gacha loot box mechanics up the wazoo.
Oh, sorry. I know there's a FIFA game with Gacha. I didn't know it was a football management team. I thought it was a FIFA game where you play them.
Yeah, so it's in the management mode of FIFA. Mm. So it's less spreadsheety, but you still get to pick which players you're playing and things like this.
Yeah, career.
EA has actually lost the license to FIFA, as in they didn't renew it. So it's actually...
No, but FIFA still has the license to FIFA.
Yeah. Yes, but EA does Ultimate Team.
Ah.
Look, EA and FIFA, two real shitty companies.
Yeah.
And they're fighting against each other, so I hope they both lose.
Although they are both big on capitalism, Eddie. So.
I hope they both win. You're right. I take it back.
Only one of them sponsored an episode. The football episode was sponsored by FIFA, right? That was the whole thing?
That was the whole thing.
Yeah, but not actually, because like...
Wait, what? I got a massive paycheck from FIFA for
FIFA doesn't pay you. You pay FIFA.
That's a good point.
The other thing here, you can have some random multi-ball effects that just show up in the game, or a sabotage where someone, like, you know, you're training up your Pikachu at very low levels and a like angry fan on the enemy team just throws a Thunderstone at it.
Or Team Rocket.
Oh, yeah, Team Rocket shows up mid-match. I like that.
Team Rocket is trying to capture Cristiano Ronaldo's Pokemon self.
What if the league is just all teams from the teams of the games?
That'd be great.
The whole league is like, you know, Team Aqua, Team Magma, Rocket. And you're your own one because that way you're not forced to use like one set of things.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
But then all the other opponents suck.
Well,
like, Rattata. Yeah, or Poochyena.
At the low levels, yeah, at the low tiers, they're using simple Pokemon that are easy to come across.
Oh, now it's Mightyena. Woo.
The things like that we can also include, like, from the Football Banners Packs episode, use the terrain thing that we had and have different arenas based on home and away turf and stuff like that.
Actually, that's quite good.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Callback, that's actually relevant. I like it.
Relevant callback, that's actually a good game. Oh no, stop becoming a stupid answer. Move on fast.
So one thing that came up there was about the training, and I'd like a game that was all about training Pokemon, mm-hmm. but more than like, not in terms of fighting and level, but what if you're like running a Pokemon breeder or you're running the daycare or something and you're running a genetic simulation because you want to get the longest Pikachu or something like that.
I mean, this is relevant. People might not know, but we're recording this on the weekend of Crufts, the dog breeding competition.
I did not know that.
I also did not know that. I mean, that was intentional.
Yeah, definitely.
I can't believe you date the episode like this, Jamie. Now everyone knows how long before we record these.
So you want like dog breeding / horse breeding, like those kind of things.
Yeah, like a bunch of Pokemon. Maybe the whole game is in place in one egg group or something, but you're like, instead of it just being a Pikachu, the game runs on the idea that, like, okay, what's a Pikachu made up of? It's made up of having this many legs and this kind of shape and this color.
Are we making new Pokemon, like Pokemon Fusion?
What is a Pikachu? A miserable pile of tubes.
Yeah, what is a Pikachu? And what's a Growlithe, for example? Well, a Growlithe has this and that. And you're like, well, I really want to introduce like a Pikachu line that's very sought after that has like the cool curly hair of the Hisuian Growlithe. So I'm going to try and like breed and look after them and care for them. So you have like a combination of Pokemon breeder and Pokemon groomer.
And then you end up with pugs.
So that the outcome of an egg in Pokemon isn't just the species of the mother and the attack of the father. It's something in between.
Huh.
Or even, you know, even sticking to one species at the beginning, you just breed a few generations of Pikachu and get the longest one you can. Like a Pikachu that looks like a pseudo-wooder.
Why do you want such a long Pikachu?
Imagine a Pikachu.
Yeah.
Now make it long.
All right, I'm in.
Right. You've heard of long Furby, now long Pikachu.
I'm not interested in long Furby.
Imagine, okay, Jamie,
yep.
Here's how I'm going to play to the judge.
Okay, yeah.
You set your whole thing as like a Snorlax crossbreeder.
Yep.
And your whole thing, you just produce a collection of Snorlax that look like Snorlax, but also a bit of another Pokemon. So they're all the shape and size of a Snorlax, but they have color and like extra ears. Like here's Eevee Snorlax, here's Squirtle Snorlax.
That's pretty cute, but you could also just make the Snorlax with the longest nap.
I thought you just gave a long Snorlax.
You could make extra big fluffy Snorlax. You could breed a Snorlax that just sleeps all day.
Like the one in the road, yep.
Dead Snorlax.
Sorry, I just processed that.
But I think like this game, you'd need to have a few characters that are asking for certain things. They're like, hey, I want a Pikachu that can surf.
Yeah.
And so you figure out what you can do. Or you're like, you know, there's these various traits.
Don't go too far down this line, otherwise one of our listeners is going to be very annoyed with us.
What, surfing Pikachu?
No.
So are you going to Pokemon tournaments? Like, are you taking Pokemon, what was it, the competitions?
Contests.
Yeah, contests. Is that the framework here, the equivalent of something like Crufts?
Interesting. I think that could be a way that you earn customers and recognition.
Yeah, and then people come to you with requests.
But you wouldn't necessarily have to do it.
Sure.
Because there'd be local people coming with requests, sort of like the Monster Rancher game. So if you go for like the progression-based goals and breed for those and try and win, then you'll get different customers and different targets. But you'll also have people saying like, hey, can you get me a Snorlax that's no bigger than 3 feet? And you'll be like, maybe.
I want a beanbag.
I don't know, give me like 20 years.
It's like, I really want a Snorlax, but I have to be able to carry it.
Impossible.
Roll it.
Doesn't Munchlax weigh like several tons or something?
Yeah, Munchlax is a heavy boy.
It's a dense lad.
Well, so you have to breed it with like a whale lord or something. Or like an Altaria, so it's all full of clouds.
Isn't it like whale lord that can breed with Skitty or something?
Yeah. Thanks, Eddie.
Yeah, egg groups are weird.
I'm sorry to inform you, Eddie, that this game will not feature the live simulation of the breeding.
No, I just want whale lord but with tiny little cat legs. That's all I want.
Yeah, okay, a whale lord with four cat legs that don't even touch the ground because its belly is there.
Yeah, that's cute.
Every Pokemon but with cat ears.
Yeah.
For the record, Munchlax weighs 105 kilograms, so you can carry it, but like, given the size of it, why would you try?
It's good cardio.
Phenomenal cardio.
There's a Pokemon that's like a phalanx sort of caterpillar thing, right?
You mean phalanx, yes.
Classic.
It's the name of the Pokemon. Sorry, phalanx?
Phalanx, yeah, that might be it.
You know, there's a Pokemon that's like a seal.
Yeah, if you breed that with Sveal, and you just have a load of Sveals running in a row. Anyway, that's my genetic simulator game. I've played a couple of games that, you know, are like simulated. One's Wobble Dogs, where you just have these silly little wobbly dogs, and the food they eat is sort of their genetics, and then when they breed, it changes all sorts of things. And so I had some funny cube dogs, and I had some funny extra long dogs.
Mm-hmm. And now you just want to do that to Pikachu.
It would be so much fun, and think about just the social media of like, look what I made.
Look how long this Pikachu is.
I don't know why we're going for long Pikachu when there's long Meowth right there, and that's Gigantamax Meowth is long cat but Meowth.
Sure.
I gotta look at this.
It's just long. It's got clouds around it. It's so tall.
Oh, Jesus Christ, that's a long cat.
Okay, so yeah, you're just trying to breed a normal Meowth to look like that shape.
Okay, yeah, got it. Right, I'm on board.
And you do it by doing a long Pikachu and then crossbreeding them because Pikachu's genetics are more flexible or something.
No, you get an Alolan Executor or whatever, which is long, and then you... Yeah, okay, I'm on board.
There's snake Pokemon, just get Ekans.
But Ekans is not long for a snake.
No, Alolan Executor.
Yeah, I'm going with Alolan Executor.
But Snake is all length.
Yeah, but Ekans is quite short for a snake, to be honest.
But a snake is 100% length.
You know Dunsparce got Dun-Dun-Sparce. Yeah, Dun-Dun-Dun-Sparce, yeah. How many Duns? Any number of them.
I can't remember.
Okay, so I think they missed a trick there by just making Dun-Dun-Sparce. I think they should have had it be a diminishingly small chance of having an extra segment, and the name should be as many Duns as there are segments.
Do you know about Mousehold? It's a Pokemon that's a household of mice and their variable numbers.
Yeah, but I think like Dunsparce would introduce a gene that adds a chance of the middle body segment repeating.
Yes.
Did you get PP Pikachu?
Yeah, or you're like Squirtle. Just have two shells.
Now this is something I do think can be copied for Monster Manager. Please do keep it.
Gyarados is nearly there. We just need a couple more.
Yeah. Gary Yarra Yarrados.
Gary Yarra Yarrados.
No, that's Gary Oak. I rest my case.
Thank you.
I'm more on board with this than I thought I would be going in.
I'm going to throw a curveball here.
Uh-oh. What kind of Pokemon do they catch?
I had this idea at 2:30 a.m. and it's not very well thought out. But Pokemon on educational games.
Okay.
So you get Pokemon, you're told how many hit points that they've taken, but not what their hit points are. And so you have to work out what their hit points are in order to see if they're dead or not.
Huh.
Or the game randomly changes language to Japanese. And so you're learning Japanese now.
It's got a roulette wheel that you spin, and afterwards it's like French.
I need to understand. Are you making an educational game and these are examples of some of the mini games it would use? Or are you making a game that's framed as an educational game that constantly switches up what it's trying to do, like Frog Fractions, to confuse you?
Both. It's basically a mod of the original Pokemon game that is also an educational game that mixes itself up every single turn or something like that. It's like, this time you have to like brain training your way into telling us how much damage you do, and you do zero damage if you don't calculate it right.
It'd be funny just like a spelling game to teach kids how to spell, but it only teaches them how to spell Pokemon names.
Yeah.
So you get kids just misspelling the word seal forevermore.
Oh dear. Oh man.
But you're spelling seal badly. Yeah. Good point.
I like not telling them their HP, so you do some math and you're like, I think I've got a few HP points left. Cool. Pikachu, use Thunder Shock. And it's like, your Pikachu's fainting. You skip a turn, idiot.
Oh, or you go up like to harder levels and it's not even, you're not telling them HP. It's like, we'll tell you the the level and the average HP stat for this Pokemon, and you just have to work on the probabilities of whether you're going to live or not.
So this is edutainment. We all love edutainment.
Yeah.
What other things can we teach? We've got language, we've got maths. Sorry, math.
Yeah, well, I think, like, if you take some of the other... When I was a kid, I had a bunch of educational games that were actually genuinely fun.
Okay, so what can we learn from those to bring to Pokemon? What other sort of edutainment have we got?
Well, let's look at, like, Zumbinis, right?
Okay, yep. I love Zumbinis. Yep.
Oh, yeah, Zumbinis is great.
Zumbinis has a lot of, like, non-verbal puzzles with different setups. You could very easily tie Pokemon into that.
So, yeah, shape and color matching, symbol matching.
Yeah, hey, we're going on a quest to find all the Reggies. Here are all the, like, Pokemon we encounter and the weird symbols in the walls and puzzles that they've set up.
You have to make the perfect pizza.
Yeah, you have to make the perfect pizza for Sudowoodo or he won't get out of the way.
Oh, man, the pizzas are freaking pizzas.
Oh, cooking teaching as well, nice.
Yeah.
And I played a bunch of others that were like, I had one that was all based on physics.
Oh.
So one of them was like using mirrors to reflect lights or making circuits on a small board.
Oh, yeah.
Or like, Gyarados, use Hyper Beam, and it's like, please line up these mirrors to hit the opposing Pokemon.
You plug in your electrodes.
Mm. You could have a power plant series of levels where you have different electric Pokemon with different functions and you have to like arrange them in a circuit.
Yeah.
So what other subjects we've got? We can do sciences.
Music. Yep, you can have different, yeah. You can have Chatot and other musical Pokemon, the cricket, and you have to arrange them in positions so that different points are being hit by certain sounds or maybe the sheet music.
Can we get anything humanities in here?
Nah, screw that.
What?
No, we can get literature. We can get Shakespeare plays recorded by Pokemon.
Oh, good, yeah.
It's a video game, and video game is for logic people who... And anyone who's going to give their kid a video game wants them to go into STEM, Alex.
Oh, okay, well...
Look at these things like time... I mean, they do Pokemon appear at a certain time of the day or in certain regions for, like, geography and timekeeping and things.
Yeah, yeah.
I just want to go back to Romeo and Juliet, but with, like, Pikachu and Minuin, or Plusley and Minuin, because that's two mouses, both alike in dignity.
Oh, nice. Both opposite in polarity.
That's real stupid.
What if there's a puzzle about you're putting on a show and you're in charge of, like, arranging things for the scenes in time? So, like,
yeah.
There's some step around that of making sure the props slide onto the stage at the right time. And you're just doing it while, so yeah, Plusin and Minun are just doing their show. But if the props don't show up, then they get confused or the audience gets upset.
The balcony isn't there. Mm-hmm.
You could teach them the basics of supply and demand economics.
By adding the poker points in, the gacha points, I like it.
Yeah. We don't need to teach kids about gambling or capitalism. Neopets is right there.
I think we do, though. I think it's
Neopets has that solved.
I think we need a market challenger.
If you want to get the Pokemon company to give Neopets the rights to do it in Pokemon, then great.
No. I pitched that earlier.
I mean, we know someone who's learned hard lessons about economics from Neopets, so it's all good.
You could also teach them sport with, like, having to catch... Actually, literally throw a Pokeball with various wind speeds.
No. Ooh. Like, oh, okay, yeah, sorry. You're talking about, like, ballistics, tanks, worm-style game. I thought you were talking about a physical, like, prop that the kid has to throw.
No, yeah, you also have to intuit the wind speed and throw a prop to catch a Pokemon.
What you really don't want to do is have, like, a Wiimote where they have to get it right, because then you're leading your kids away from STEM again.
Yes.
Yeah. That's...
You know, in physics, there's the egg drop experiment.
What, the Togepi drop?
You could do that with Pokemon eggs. Yeah.
I see. To hatch this Pokemon, it needs to hit the ground with a certain velocity but not break.
No, to not kill your Togepi. How do you not... You drop in this Togepi. Can you keep it alive?
Togepi's dead.
If not, now we go to the cooking section.
Togepi is the most delicious Pokemon. We know that.
You could do it slightly less offensively by having a Chansey that needs to give a lucky egg to a Pokemon down a cliff. It's like, look, that Pokemon's bruised its knee. Chansey's running to give it a lucky egg. It's gonna trip. It's gonna just jump down. Can you make the Chansey survive the drop? Well, not survive. Can you make the egg survive the drop with the Chansey?
As the Chansey goes to drop the egg, it trips, and now you have an egg and a Chansey falling. And now we introduce morals. You can only save one.
There are five Pikachus on this track.
I like that you're just like, oh, I'll use... It would be so much easier. You're like, oh, well, Pokemon have psychic powers. I'm just going to put an Abra where it's going to fall to catch it. And then it falls. And then just before it hits it, the Abra just teleports away.
Yeah.
We got the trolley problem between five Pikachus and one Togepi.
Like, I think the kind of educational games I saw as a kid would do very well just with a Pokemon veneer. like set in a Pokemon world with that kind of thing going on.
Yeah.
Unironically, those logic puzzle games would be fun.
Oh, wait, you're just saying that Alex should win. Got it.
No, because there's a lot of these are games that would be fun, Jamie. I want to play video games and I like Pokemon. The only one I don't want to play is Eddie's Gacha one.
And that's why that one should win, Jamie.
And that's probably the one that's most likely to happen.
Yeah, that's the problem, right?
You said what's next, and so I assumed it was what's realistically next.
Oh, yeah, prediction. Yeah. Okay, now, if we're doing a realistic prediction, let me just get one in there. The same game as last time.
Oh, controversial.
No, sorry. Same game with about 5% changed. Come on.
The same game with some new graphical assets.
No, they don't do that. They, like, make it more open world and they keep the graphics the same.
I meant graphical assets as in new Pokemon.
Oh, okay.
All right, lads, get out of the tall grass. Get out of the tall grass.
No, we're in the tall grass.
Oh, no, it's a Rattata. Ah.
Yeah, Zumbinichu, whatever. That's my new original character.
Zumbinis?
Yeah, it's just different. It's just Zumbinis with Pokemon in place of the Zumbinis.
You lose a bunch of Zumbinis, right, as you go through.
Yeah.
But they're not dead. They're just getting washed away.
Yeah, they go back.
You could just have a big squad of Pokemon, like 50 Pokemon just following along doing these puzzles.
See, the Zumbinis are trying to escape an awful place and get to a safe place, and so it's an analogy. I don't know where I'm going with this. They're just moving. And now it's Pikachu, and now Pikachu died because you got the pizza wrong.
Yeah, that's it. Pizza chew.
Right, any more notes?
I have no notes.
Perfect, no notes.
I do want a restaurant called Pizza Chew where they just make pizzas but then they look like different Pokemon phases.
The pizza pizza but it's got the Pikachu ears.
Or it's a pizza but it's already been chewed.
My one note is if anybody does make any of these games, you owe us 50% in royalties and then we'll call it even.
Yeah.
Or just a free copy of the game.
No, I'd take the 50% royalties.
What a deal. Like the red pill or the blue pill.
Right. How long am I going to think about who won this time? What's the next number up?
I don't know, like four?
Four. Okay. I spent four thinking about who's won this episode.
Four generations of Pokemon.
I really liked a lot what I had going on this episode. We had a recent episode where everything was awful. This time we've got lots of good ideas and I can actually like see a lot of them in my mind's eye genuinely as actually working.
This is the dichotomy of Win Stupid Prizes. Sometimes it's all bangers. Sometimes it's absolutely not.
Sometimes it's body tubes.
And before you announce anything, Pokemon have done a number of games that are like not Pokemon. I mean, they have Pokemon and those are often my favorite games, like Ranger and Conqueror.
We've got Mystery Dungeon series. Yeah.
They just do such interesting things.
I mean, the best way to take on Power World is how, like, how much it demonstrates people are just eager for something different that is Pokemon-esque.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, even Arceus just being able to run around and do combat roles was fun, apart from the fact that your Pokemon box got instantly filled with 10,000 Pokemon and took 3 hours to rearrange.
Yes.
And just turn them into gacha points.
Yeah, exactly. Perfect.
That takes 2.5 hours.
Right. So I've come down on, even though all the answers were bangers.
Apart from the gacha
one. Well, the gacha one.
Shut
the
up, you. Shut up, you. When that wins, you're going to eat your words.
The gacha's admittedly the most realistic. And I want the one I like the most rather than the one that's most likely to happen next. And the one that I could like see the most fully in my mind's eye as an experience was the Overcooked / Mailroom, the Chaos multiplayer minigame with all the different characters and abilities. And I can just see that existing.
Yeah.
So there we go.
Fantastic.
Well done, Alex.
That was strong.
It's so good. I can see it. Like I love so many of these. You all brought great stuff. So thank you.
Thank you.
Right. And what have you won? Now, we've been talking about a lot of Pokemon.
7 poker points.
And I want to help you catch your own Pokemon, so I've got you an empty Pocky box.
Wow.
Oh, thank goodness, I'm allergic.
Oh, perfect. You can keep your Pokemon in there instead.
Only in digital form, though.
I might go and buy one. They sell it at my local corner shop. I might buy it so we can tweet it out or something.
Nice, there it is.
Yeah,
yeah, you are eating them, though.
I'll eat it because you're allergic, and then, yeah.
It's a win-win situation for you.
I get Pocky, and you get a prize.
What if Digimon is just what happens to Pokemon while they're in the PC?
Oh, jeez, I hadn't thought about that. Things people didn't bring, like, it's a single-player Pokemon game, but you're Snorlax. Well done, you didn't play to Joe's
Hammer. That's already a game. That's Pokemon Sleep, and it's not really a game, it's just bad.
Oh, fair enough.
You play that in real life every day, Jamie.
And no one brought Digimon. No one played to the Judge of Digimon, so I'm happy we came up with good ideas.
Yeah, every one of the ideas was a good idea. You're absolutely right. All 6 of them, fantastic ideas.
Yeah.
Eddie, when your game is made, we're going to make a custom server that doesn't go off and we're just going gonna play offline only and hack in all the poker points.
I'm gonna have to figure out how to stop this.
I'm gonna have to figure out how to sue.
Thanks for listening, Anonymous Data Point. I know everyone tells you this, but as a tiny independent outlet, we really do need your support. So if you've enjoyed this stupid episode, please subscribe on whichever platform you're listening on. If you're feeling extra generous, you could rate and review us on Apple and Spotify. 5 stars, please. Or more importantly, you could recommend this show to a friend. Regardless of whether you do any of that, we really appreciate your listenership, and we look forward to seeing you in the next episode. Well, you'll see us anyway. I mean, not see, exactly. Nah, you get the idea.
It's not quite, it's Snover cooked.
It's so Snover.
Good one. That's a Pokemon for anyone who didn't realise.
I did not realise, thank you.
It evolves into a Bomber Snow.
A Bomber Snover cooked. Wait, no.
That's the sequel.
Yeah.
Now, is there a Pokemon that sounds like cooked?
Silence.
I love Dead Air. Dead Air is great.
Fine, Eddie can just turn that.
Oh, yeah, that joke.
Dead Air is the best kind of air. I can just spot it and delete it.
Ove Mer Croaked.
Wow.